Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتابا مبين. الحمد لله الذي خلق العباد نقولين. الحمد لله who revealed us his book most clear. وكان من أيها الدين وخلصكم نعمة وأريد لكم الإسلام الدين. Who revealed us his book most clear, and among his last ayah, this day have I perfected for you your way of life, and have completed my favor upon you, and have preferred Islam as a way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, his is the kingdom. Alhamd, to him is due all unqualified praise. Biyadihi al-khayr, in his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And we bear openness this morning without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad is his slave servant and his messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi and upon his family wa sahbihi and upon his companions ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wa jumu'ah mubarak wa ramadan mubarak. Amma ba'da, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. وهو الذي خلق من الماء بشرا فجعله نسابا وسهرا وكان ربك قديرا. صدق الله العظيم. الله the mighty has spoken the truth. This is the 54th ayah. Didn't put the surah number there. I'm not saying about it. mashallah. An expression of it is, in it is, and it is he who has created from water a human being and made him relationships made for him relationships by blood and by marriage. Sadaqallah al-Azim. A report from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أغتنم خمسا قبل خمسا شبابك قبل حرامك والصحة قبل غناك قبل فقرك وفراغك قبل شغلك وحياتك قبل موتك. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is reported by Ibn Abbas that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, take advantage of five before five. Your youth before your old age, your health before your illness, your riches before your poverty, your free time before your work, and your life before your death. Sadaq Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, our topic today is the five necessities for building ummah. The five necessities for building ummah. In the fiqh, that is in the understanding of the religion, it's been agreed that there are five essential, what they are called is daruri, five obligatory matters that we have to pay attention to for ourselves individually and also for the collective goal of building ummah. The way I remember them easily is I use a memory device of saying first, the last letter is P, not T, rather than say first. And it's family, intellect. R is religion. Of course, we know the term for us is deen, but it's religion, paying attention to that. Is for self, and the P is for property. These are mandatory areas that have to be attended to, taken as sacred matters in this project, which I remind myself and yourself with all that I say, but at this moment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us in the Quran, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. That's the command forever. That's the command. That's not a seasonal command. That's the command forever. Let there arise out of you an ummah. We need to know what that is. Today is not the teaching for that, but I'm saying take it upon yourself if you haven't already done so to seek to understand what does it mean to build ummah. And I do have a book recommendation. It's very helpful in that. Ismail Raja'i Farooqi, rahimahullah alayhi, he has a publication, At-Tawheed, Its Implications for Thought and for Life. It's one of the best for me, one of the best writings on the realization, first internally. You first realize in yourself, well, what is building ummah? What does that really mean? What does that look like? And I embrace his explanation of it, and I recommend it to you. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he said, Ummah and Khalifa is the same, but what I was about to define was Khalifa. Khalifa is a divinely inspired republic. When you have Ummah, you actually have all of that. When you have Ummah, you have everything that you need as a society. And so many of the things that we have to live with and shake our heads about in this world right now is because we don't have ummah. I mean, you pick up just any headline and you say, subhanAllah. Every time. Why? Because we don't have ummah. right? It's the job, it's the responsibility, it's the mission, it's the work of the Muslim believer to bring that about so that we, and you can hear you can hear mother, and you should also therefore hear womb in that term, right? In fact, it's very easy. What is, you know me, how do you spell womb in this world right now? How do you spell womb? W-O-M-B. But we know also from our teacher that wherever there's a silent letter, there's a secret. If you read the word and there's a silent letter in it, there's a secret in that word. Nobody says womb. Who says womb? Nobody says womb. The B is silent, so there's a secret in it. So this manufactured English language, W-O-M, is actually what's being said. W. I'm not talking about the Warriors. I'm just talking about W. It's saying there's two U's. So what is the womb? It's It's mother. Right there in the English. So when you build ummah, then you're building a womb, and it becomes an environment by which and through which everybody in it is acculturated and socialized in the manner as is intended by Allah. تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ تَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. We're supposed to have a world that does that, but, or rather not but, moving back to first. The responsibility then, both individually and collectively, is for us to take care of these five things and take care of these five things as sacred matters, taking them as a part of ibad. In fact, when we say we're Abdullah, we're saying we're slave servants of Allah. We're servants of Allah. We're workers for Allah. Okay, well, what's the work? Family, intellect, religion, self, property. According to the ulama, they come to that consensus. We take advantage of wherever we have a consensus. So family is sacred. And the reading that we gave, mashallah, alhamdulillah, I got a couple of years on me, but I got a memory. Still got my memory. 25. It's 25:54. That's the surah that we read from. 25:54 is the ayah. And Allah says that He has created the human being from water. Water is a sign, a type of sensitivity, activity in the senses. Water is also a symbol of human nature. Our nature is water. One, because we are sensitive creatures. We're sensitive creatures. I mean, you hear that, you know, usually we think about it in pathological terms, that, well, man, he's real sensitive, right? It really means that he has some kind of ego frailty or neurotic about something, being very conscious of negative thoughts or threats or what have you. But no, that's the nature of the human being. In fact, basha, the term basha, means the sensitivities of the flesh, the sensitivities, flesh and blood sensitivity. Human beings are easily influenced, like water. Somebody can just say something and we go right off in that direction, just not hard at all, because that's the human being. Let me say something then about wah. It's a base that you have to hold on to it. You have to hold on to it, being a sensitive human being, or you become hard. And then when you become hard, okay, well, then that's a problem. But to stick with just understanding that about the human nature, you know that human nature as water is also, water comes from the sky, and let's stay in the hood, urban environment, the water gets down into the gutter, right? And what else goes in the gutter? Just everything, in the gutter. People, that's in the gutter, right? And so you have that corruption mixed up in the water, but then when the sun comes out, then the water evaporates. The water evaporates, and it comes up and higher and higher and higher, and it's purified. And all the corruption is left on the ground, right? And when it goes up and gathers in the clouds, it gets nitrogenated and it gets, you know, energized with all those powerful elements, and then it rains back down pure on the earth. And that's what happens with us as human beings. We can be involved in moral corruption. We can be involved in crime and sin and indecency and what have you. But if the light of Allah, if the light of God reaches us, then we rise up from that corruption. We rise up from those shortcomings. And we get more and more purified. And inshallah, we come back as a blessing to the world that we left. Just a couple of my kinfolk in the Sabrina Park kinfolk that's in the room. It's like, you know, there's some stuff was going on there, right? But then those of us who were on that block who came up out of it, got purified, et cetera. And now, mashallah, we're able to send the blessings by the grace of Allah to the same community that we came out of the corruption from, mashallah. And it's good people. Now, you know, everybody's Brandon Park ain't corrupt or anything like that. Don't get it twisted, but maybe that's just the part, like Lou Rawls, you know, they say we're a dead end street. Y'all know the rest of it. Let's move on. So from water, just one more thing to move away from that, because the picture is just so beautiful. Solomon, the story of Solomon is another word. The English word, it's another word that really is speaking to the soul of man. That's what it is. It's the soul of man. And when Saba, which is also connected with seven, and that woman who had a throne, but it was established on the wrong basis, but it looked like a great throne, but it wasn't on the right foundation. In any case, the whole cycle with her, and then when she came into Solomon's kingdom, castle, domain, she looked at the floor, she thought it was water. So she pulled the hem of her skirt up, and then she stepped on it and saw that it was glass. Thought it was glass. And then she said, now I really believe in God. First she said she believed. And then after that experience, now I really believe. So what is that? She thought it was water, but it was solid. Thought it was water. See, when the spirituality is brought into discipline, which is what this month of fasting is really about, this month of fasting is about spiritual discipline. Water is a symbol of spirituality, the water of spirituality. Air, symbol of spirit. Water is spirituality. That spirituality needs to be brought under a discipline. Those sensitivities, activities in the senses. What is the activity in the senses? Impulses, urges, appetites. It's just activities in the senses. They have to be brought into discipline. And this is what the fast in the month of Ramadan is. And once they are brought into discipline, then they will hold their form. They will hold their shape. They will keep their character. They can serve as the foundation for order. See, you can't build anything with a bunch of undisciplined people. Even criminals and gangs, they got discipline, right? Because they are committed to the mission that they are committed to. So for us as Muslims, that's it. So the point is that when Allah said he created all the human beings from water, then it's speaking to that nature. Well, I always say one more thing. I'm going to learn how to stop saying that. Water, another sign of the human nature. Water as a sign of human nature. Whenever the temperature goes down, all elements shrink. They shrink. That's the nature of it. Temperature goes down, shrink, 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 shrink. Water does too. Shrink, 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 shrink. until it gets to 39 degrees. When it gets to 39 degrees, then it starts expanding, where it will bust a fire hydrant because of the force of that water freezing. That's human nature. Because it's freezing, he said, what is freezing? 32 degrees. 32 degrees is frozen. That's where we in the Nation of Islam, we used to make mockery of the Masons, you know, and say, yeah, I got 33 degrees. 33 degrees, he's just 1 degree above freezing, man. And he's like, we got 360 degrees, right? None of y'all know anything about that. But the idea is down to 39 degrees, what's the difference between 39 degrees and 32 degrees? It's seven degrees. So the human being will accept to be pushed back, held back, even oppressed to a point until his soul is threatened, until his sense of his sacred self is threatened, then it becomes the Patrick Henry type thing, give me liberty or give me death. And so the rebellion starts, even though the temperature is still falling, but the human being is pushing back and pushing back and pushing back. And how powerful is water? Water can just drip and drip and drip on a piece of iron and put a hole in a piece of iron, just a drop at a time. That's human nature. Human nature has that kind of power, and that's what we were created from. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says he created the human being from water, basharan. In fact, the word was right there, water and bashar, speaking again of the same sensitivity. Then he says he made for them nasaba. Nasaba is relationships nasaba wa sihra, and by blood and by marriage. So relationships that come through lineage and relationships that come through marriage. We're talking about the five necessities for building ummah. And this particular verse is just so critical. And the point to be made is it's bringing our attention to marriage. I want you to take a minute to think about when you hear that word, how does it really strike your consciousness? Because it is a sacred matter. It is a sacred matter. And the necessity for it, and, many of our, let me get this off the board, many of our young people, the presentations that we experienced over Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and more to come next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, marriage came up very often in their presentations, those who are married and married with children and unmarried and the like. But the respect for marriage and that institution and the importance and the significance and the impact of it was very much on display, alhamdulillah, and I'm extremely appreciative of that. There are so many very worthy, and not only in competence, but also in beauty and in health, males and females in just this community, but I know it to be true across the entire body of Muslims that I'm associated with in this country. They are fit, they are worthy, they are blessings that people, males and females, man, you're missing it. It's like, it's gold, but you're missing it. But then also there's some, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to favor them with something that suits them, because sometimes the level that the male and the level that the female is on in terms of their ibadah and the expectations and in terms of their own competence and their own aspirations and their own goal-seeking ideas is sometimes in the world at large, and unfortunately sometimes even among Muslims, the same aspirations, it's hard to find mates of like nature in the sense of those values and those expectations and those drives and those that sense of mission in life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has someone for them, and we look forward to those who are unmarried, and we see also to be married, and also we are looking forward to more fruit coming from the tree of those who are married. And they, from the words that we've heard, it's a very, very clear demonstration that they get, meaning they understand how significant marriage is in the life of a person who's trying to grow and who's trying to live and who's trying to sustain and maintain and all of that. It is known. It's in our environment. Well, those kinds of circumstances and that kind of evidence amongst us is only, for me, a reinforcement. I wanted to become for you the same, that this is the mission. And when you see the success that comes from healthy marriages, when you see the fruit that comes from healthy marriages, when you see the transformation, and maybe I don't know if I'll get to it today, but the transmutation that happens through marriage, you get reminded, if you already know, you get reminded, God said, yeah, that's why I said marry. And I have ordained it as a part of the nature of my schema that marriage ties and relationship is a part of the Ummah building mission. You can't build Ummah without marriage and family. You can't do it. So if you're on the mission that Allah has for all of us to be on, then you have to put, just because you're not married doesn't mean that you don't hold that value. Just because you've been married and had a divorce doesn't mean that you don't hold that value. So don't put yourself on a guilt trip either way. It's like, yeah, I accept marriage as a value. I accept it as an important sacred institution. Alhamdulillah, that's good. That's all you got to do. Because just like Moses, when you get the story of Moses, when Moses did what he did in order to help somebody that didn't have any help, then Allah provided for him a wife, a job, and a place to stay for 10 years, right? That's a beautiful thing. I mean, there's a longer piece to that, but go read that story, and what you'll find is that the critical thing is all you need, or rather, if you take that as a model, all you need to do is help somebody that needs the help that only you can give to them. And then Allah will help you with something that only He can help you with. So this sihra, let me give you a meaning of it. It's that one of the meanings, it's just simple dictionary definition of sod, ha, soft ha, and ra. Sod, ha, ra. It is to melt, to liquefy a thing, severely, to be severely affected by heat, to thoroughly cook with fire. It means relationship, the nearness with respect to kindred. It means sacred and inviolable. That's what it means. Sacred and inviolable. It's the tie of relationships by marriage. Allah has ordered that. This is a part of Allah's blueprint. It's just so important. This is a part of Allah's blueprint. And that's why the Prophet says, among many other reasons, not the only reason, the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, to marry is half of the faith, and taqwa is the other half. To marry is half of the faith. And to marry doesn't mean just putting two bodies in the same house. Marriage is a job. It's a part of the job of Ummah building that I'm speaking of. It's work. And that's the nature of it. Allah says in the Quran, one of his signs is that he created for you mates of like nature in order that you might find tranquility with it. But listen to it. It's that you might find tranquility, right? But the point is, but you're supposed to be looking for it. You're supposed to be working for it. And alhamdulillah, this is no boast. I don't want to spoil none of my blessings. Whenever you say something good, I encourage you. Say, this is no boast, because you can be like that guy entering into his garden in a state unjust to his own soul in Surah Kahf that we're invited to read every between Jumas, right? And he said, oh, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. Oh, this ain't, it ain't going to never end. In fact, I know I'm going to get some more. And he said he was left in the morning wringing his hands. And the other one was saying, how come you didn't say, inshallah? How come you didn't say, this is by Allah's grace, right? Okay, I know it's by Allah's grace. It is what it is. You know, I just said about Sabrani Park, right? Because if you knew that guy from Sabrani Park that this guy replaced, every metaphor I use with Yolanda and myself is a lady in the tramp. Lady in the tramp. She lived on the avenues. I lived across the tracks, right? And so it's like, nah, that's kind of like one of them does not compute kind of things. I mean, but the point was that. That purification, I got lost in a reverie right there. That purification that can happen through marriage, I'm a witness to it. I'm a witness to it. That you marriage will transform you, improve you, take the rough edges off of you, make you, and this is scientifically established, that those people who are married are less inclined to be involved in criminal activity. It's something about being married, man. Crime ain't the thing. But, of course, they're selling us all these little programs like Power and Empire and whatever the others are. You know, it's like, yeah, that's the family business. What the? You talking about? That's the family business that they're selling to us in the hood, right? So this sacred and inviolable is the attitude that we are to take towards marriage and family. And Allah is telling us that it is in our nature. And the Prophet said to marry is half of the religion. And I talked about the struggle, and I'll say more, inshallah, about the struggle of marriage. Don't think that when there is struggle, and the fact that if you're not married and you see marriage is struggling, and then so therefore, I don't want to struggle like that. No, that's a part of it. That's a big part of it. That's the purification process. That's what's actually happening in the marriage. So getting married, as I said, is not just putting two bodies in under one roof. Getting married is there's a lot of psychological, emotional work, cognitive work that has to be done in order to get to that tranquility that Allah has promised. He said, it's there, but you have to keep working for it. You have to keep looking for it. You have to keep hoping for it. You have to keep acting in the way that would bring that about. And this, my brothers and sisters, where the Prophet's model, that's the recipe. That's the algorithm. That's the process. It's like, okay, well, how do I get to that tranquility? You need to study the Prophet, peace be upon him, and how he dealt with marriage. He says, fundamentally, surely the best among you is the best in the treatment of his wife. He said, I'm the best in the treatment of my wives. And he demonstrated the fact that, look, I got the whole spectrum of women. I got it covered. So I can show you how to live with every type. And so the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said to marry his half, and taqwa is the other half, the taqwa is what you're going to need to get through what I'm talking about. You have to recognize that the marriage doesn't belong to you. That's a big thing. Tell me, oh, yeah, our marriage, is it? No, it's not your marriage. In the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that the Prophet has given us, that's often used as marriage khutbah, for the cornerstone of marriage khutbah, Inna Allah alaykum raqib, 4:1, fourth chapter, first verse, very last line. Inna Allah alaykum raqib, Allah is over you as a supervisor. Allah is over you as a supervisor. Well, what's the job? Relationships. This relationship, if it's serving me, if it's a part of ibadah, if it's a part of building ummah, then you're doing it for Allah. It doesn't take any of the personal aspects out. In fact, it deepens it. But the point is that, I'm just doing this for God. And you treat them like they're just some kind of static piece of material. No, you're not doing it right. The idea is to recognize that the relationships and the way you to relate is modeled for you by Prophet Muhammad. Last word on this. And this work is the work of getting to the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for us to get to, so that the dynamic that comes from a healthy marriage produces benefit for the development of and the forward going of a community and ummah. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ. آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Let's say a little bit about this Sahra on another plane. So it said that the word also means melt, liquefy a thing, severely affect by heat, thoroughly cook with fire. In Surah Al-Ra'd 13, verses 17 and 18, I'll read the expression of it. It says, he sends down water from the skies and the channel flow, each according to its measure, but the torrent bears away the foam that mounts up to the surface. Even so, from the ore, ore is precious metal that's mixed into dirt, just has dirt mixed into it before it's processed, right? So even so for the ore, O-R-E, for the ore which they heat in the fire to make ornaments or utensils therewith, there is a scum likewise. Thus does Allah, by his parables, show forth truth and vanity. Let me just stop right there. Right? Some people marry for truth, some people marry for vanity. You know, eye candy, What's some of the other languages? Trophy wives, right? Trophy husbands. That's why, the celebrities, this is like they're playing musical chairs in relationship. This one used to be married to that star. Now that star is married to the star that used to be married to that star. That's not it, man. Truth and vanity. For the scum disappears like froth cast out, while that which is for the good of mankind remains on the earth. Thus doth Allah set forth parables. For those who respond to their Lord are all good things, but those who respond not to him, even if they had all that is in the heavens and the earth, as much more, in vain would they offer it for ransom. For them will the reckoning be terrible. Their abode will be hell. What a bed of misery. I'm going to read two more sections in the expression. 2:16 says, fighting is prescribed for you and you dislike it. But it is possible that you dislike a thing which is good for you and that you love a thing which is bad for you. But Allah knows and you know not. And that was 2:216, and also now 4:19. It says, O you who believe, You are forbidden to inherit women against their will, nor should you treat them with harshness, that you may take away part of the dowry that you have given them, except where they have been guilty of open lewdness. On the contrary, live with them on a footing of kindness and equity. If you take a dislike to them, it may be that you dislike a thing, and Allah brings about through it a great deal of good. So here, this concept, this axiom of fighting, but you don't like it. But God reminds us about fighting, speaking of fighting in his cause. He said, it may be that you dislike a thing through which he brings about a great deal of good. So that's about, that's jihad, et cetera, specifically. But then the same, and the only other time that that principle is mentioned is when you are, when you're in a marriage relationship. Maybe something you don't like about them, something you dislike about them. Allah is telling you, it may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. And this, the verse that we read regarding the foam and the froth of the sea, you've been by the seashore where the waves come in and dump the froth on the beach, et cetera. The ocean stays. That is the frothy part of it. That's not a formal part of it. It gets cast off. And the same way as spoken of with regard to the dross out of that ore. When that ore is heated up, the dirt and the filth and the corruption, et cetera, gets separated from the silver and from the gold, from the precious metal, and they scrape it right off the top. They take it right off the top. But then the beautiful ornaments and the beautiful utensils are now to be made from that part of it that is useful. So how does this relate to this Sahara? The Sahara, remember what it means, to melt, to liquefy a thing, to severely affect by heat, to thoroughly cook with fire. That's one of them. What came to mind immediately is the idea of the butterfly, the idea of the butterfly. I don't know which one it is, the butterfly or the mosquito. One of them is called the chrysalis, and the other one is called a cocoon. I don't know which is which. Chrysalis or a cocoon, but we had in one of our classes, sisters and teachers at Kia of the time, Rashid, they had this experiment with butterflies where we raised butterflies, grew butterflies like in the classroom. And in the study of the butterfly, the point is that the butterfly, when it transforms from a caterpillar, the one eating all the leaves, and then it spins its own cocoon. There's a transformation from the caterpillar to what ultimately becomes a butterfly when the whole thing becomes liquid on the inside. It liquefies on the inside. And then it's transformed, going straight from a caterpillar to a butterfly after that liquefaction. That fire and that melting, and they call this working with the precious metal smelting. Smelting, right? Why? Because it's melting, right? And the process is also called fitan, and that's where you get fitna from. Fitna. You know, That happens in marriages sometimes. Fitna, I'm smiling. It's like, man, fitna ain't funny, bro. Yeah. It can be. You embrace it. It's hot. You know when it gets hot in the house. I'm going to go and talk about it, y'all. Y'all need to straighten up and fly right. I mean, it's like that's a part of the design. The heat that comes from the womb that's created in marriage. When you marry, yeah, honeymoon's beautiful. Yeah, you this is good. But there's a time when the honeymoon's over. It's the honeymoon's over. You might catch it if you're newlywed. You say, oh, yeah, I guess so. Oh, it's a honeymoon. The honeymoon, that's okay. It really concerns me that some of y'all look so sad when I'm talking about marriage. I'm really concerned. What you think it is? Because that's how you get purified. There's a lot of corrupt opportunities that present themselves to the unmarried. You can call it temptation, you can call it whatever you want to call it, especially in this world as it is right now. Marriage is a protection. It is a protection of your taqwa. It's a protection of your ibadah. There are things in marriage that you will naturally feel as like, nah, this is going to jeopardize this and jeopardize that. Listen, don't get me wrong. I ain't about no confession, man, but I need to go ahead and read this other hadith before we go. Because I also want to put at ease some that may have. See, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this taqwa, yes, we should have fear of Allah, but this taqwa is being conscious of God in the way that he would have us be conscious. Yes, there are things that, adultery and fornication, of course, one of them, prime, big, important to stay away from those because of the fact of the impact that it could have on the marriage and therefore on the building Ummah project. That's the biggest effect because it's holding back some solidity in the structure of community and Ummah. It threatens that. Now, admittedly, we have to understand that while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed polygyny, just as an example, I'm trying to get this point, that polygyny has been allowed, we are in this so-called monogamous society then and not having access to polygyny for many and several reasons, it also leaves the door open and creates more area for that particular problem to arise amongst us. Whereas if polygyny was more legitimated in the best way in this society, it's a part of Islam, it is, then fornication and adultery would definitely be, Allahu alam, I can still say definitely, because Allah has allowed it and it is a solution to problems that would otherwise arise just from our nature. I'm trying to keep it a buck with you. So, but absent that for, again, many and several reasons, then this happened. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in my bloodline there is no fornication and adultery. The Prophet said, from Adam up to me, there's no fornication or adultery. Now, hardly any of us, I doubt that any of us could say that, even if you could, you don't know. The Prophet has said it, right? Yeah, there's a lot of jokes there, but y'all ain't in no funny mood today, boy, so. I'm gonna keep it real serious, okay? We need to work in this area, I see. I'm pulling out my jackhammer already. You do that. Get that new foundation. But let's go. So the Prophet said this, but here's another thing. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm talking about how adultery and fornication has a deadly, fatal, undermining impact of it. And it's not something that's a stranger to many of us in here. I don't know everybody, but I know the world that we live in, and I know that we have to come up and we have to grow. And some of us passed that test, and some of us didn't pass that test. And some, by the grace of Allah, is not even known, but you know. Okay? So just keep it real. Don't try to act like you're an angel, because you shouldn't do it, and B, you don't need to do it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He already knows you. Okay? So, but the Prophet, peace be upon him, to get to the blueprint of it, the Prophet said, he would teach about the consequences, the hell, the punishment, the torment that comes in consequence of that in the life that comes hereafter. So much so that Abu Huraira, the one that's very much known for collecting many of the hadith, he came to Prophet Muhammad. He was a young man. He came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "I'm a young man and I can't afford to marry." Let me just read the report. He said, "O Messenger of Allah, I'm a young man and I'm afraid that I may commit illegal sexual intercourse and I cannot afford to marry." He kept silent and then repeated my question. I then repeated my question. Once again, the Prophet, he kept silent. Then he said, I said the same thing a third time. And the Prophet remained silent. So he's saying, I don't want the punishment. I can't afford to get married. Can I be castrated? He asked the Prophet that three times. Then I repeated my question a fourth time. And only then did the Prophet say, "O Abu Huraira, the pen is lifted and the ink is dry for whatever you're going to confront. So it doesn't matter whether you get yourself castrated or not." What is this saying? What happened was always going to happen. And another verse in the Quran says, Allah creates males and females in the womb as He pleases. So in terms of that particular event happening in our lives, whether we be the husband or whether we be the wife, that's what was written. Now, you can accept it, reject it, you can deal with whatever you deal, but I'm telling you what the religion has said about it. Even if it wasn't your plan, even if it wasn't your intent, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen. And it happened, it happened. Okay? Next thing. So therefore, what must we also couple into? I said, we must couple into our thinking on the matter this report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It said, I came to the Apostle sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu. He said, and he was asleep. It came to the Prophet and he was asleep. And he was wrapped in a white mantle. And again he came and he was still asleep. See, I came again and he had awakened. I sat by his side and the Prophet, peace be upon him, observed. Meaning he stated this. There is none among the slaves of Allah who affirm La ilaha illallah. That is, there's no object of worship but Allah. And they die in that state, that they are assured of paradise. And then Abu Dhar said to him, because it was so complete in the way that the Prophet said, anyone who says La ilaha illallah, he didn't say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, he said La ilaha illallah, he said paradise is guaranteed for them. And then Abu Dhar, he asked, even if he committed adultery and theft? And the Prophet replied, yes, even though he committed adultery and theft. And then Abu Dhar asked again, he said, even if he committed adultery and theft? And the Prophet replied, yes, even though he committed adultery and theft. And then the Prophet repeated it three times. He said, even if he committed adultery and theft, even if he committed adultery and theft, even if he committed adultery and theft. And then for the fourth time, then the prophet said it and said, in defiance of Abel-Dar. And then Abel-Dar, he left, right? Abel-Dar, he left. And then he went out, and then the prophet, peace be upon him, it repeated this three times, in defiance of Abel-Dar. What is the picture? What is the picture? Abel-Dar, it seems, he was in such a state where, oh, that don't seem right. He's talking to the prophet. The prophet is telling him. He said, yes, paradise is guaranteed even if he committed theft and adultery. Even if he committed, and the prophet is like, look, I already told you. I said, yeah, in defiance of you, which is said, no matter what you think, no matter how your, whatever your thinking is, Allah and the angels have told me that that is the case. So what I'm saying is, in hopes of understanding that, if we fall victim to that, recognize how it has the damaging potential for ummah building, but that doesn't cast you into hell automatically. Keep on working. Ask for the forgiveness. Fulfill the obligation. And that is in service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how, these are matters that we have to have in mind in terms of that. I hope, I'm going to have to conclude, but I hope that you need to join me tomorrow morning, inshallah, on our blog talk broadcast, inshallah, because there's a lot to be said about this alchemy and how that relates to the reality of the purification related to the heat side of this. I haven't really said as much as I intended to say on the idea of the heat and how it transforms and transmutes us. And that's the plan of Allah. That's the plan of Allah. So many people have put it into other quote-unquote spiritual systems and spiritual knowledge, but Allah has given to us in a complete package, literally, if you understand it, in one verse. And inshallah, by Allah's help and guidance, we'll get to it. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi-ibnihi. Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima sha'a wasi'a kursiyyuhu as-samawati wal-ard. ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو علي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم في العالمين انك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We praise you by your names. Oh Allah, we beg your aid and assistance in all things. Oh Allah, purify us, forgive us, help us, guide us, enlighten us. Bless us to understand those things that we don't understand about ourselves. Oh Allah, bless us not to be self-defeating. Bless us not to be disempowering of ourselves. Bless us to embrace the purity, the blessing, the grace, and the forgiveness that you have given us through your perfect favor of this way of life, al-Islam, and through your perfect model example, Muhammad, and we pray the prayers and the peace and blessings be upon him. Oh Allah, we wish to be whole Muslims. We wish to be whole believers. We wish to be those who are living true to what we aspire. Oh Allah, we know that we have to grow, that we have to develop. Oh Allah, bless us not to allow shaitan to block us in our aspiration to reach that sacred goal that you have for us. Oh Allah, we know that you have told us through the sacred reports that all of us sin by night and by day. And you said that all we have to do is ask you for forgiveness and you will forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wa alaykum as-salam. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استووا واستقيم يرحمكم الله. Make our will straight and evenly, no space between us, Shaitan divide us. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في الدين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. So we're going to make a couple of announcements and go ahead and make it sunnahs, but take the conversations out of the musalla. Shukran. Alhamdulillah. Be sure to remember to look at the iftar calendar, the little board that's posted up there, so you'll know. I can say formally that New Africa is providing iftar Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Then you have other opportunities for individuals to sponsor iftar, and we've talked many times about the blessings that come from sponsoring an iftar. You can get the details from Brenda about how you can sponsor an iftar and get those blessings. Let me just stick with the notes here. April 15th, Robin Ashley Wallace birthday. Alhamdulillah, that's today. Allahu Akbar. Wallace Edwards. Alhamdulillah. April 19th to the 21st. Again, we have the continuing Ramadan session. This is going to be Ramadan session 2, moving the community life into the future. And this is both in person. You can come in to the building and also do so on Zoom. I believe we have a hot link with the correction on it because there was a capitalization issue on the flyer. But you can get the newsletter and get the details for how to check in on that Zoom session there. And I'll be back with, inshallah, I'll be back with our random Ramadan reminder sessions April 25th and 26th. Hope to see you again either in the building or on Zoom. Rashad Shaheed, sister in Las Vegas, we want to keep her in our prayers. Tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is 2 p.m. our time, I'll be the guest on Living Islam Today. Ahmed Media presents. It's going to be on Facebook Live, and also I see it's going to be on YouTube. So if you just check in on Facebook Live at 2 p.m. our time and searching Living Islam Today, inshallah, your brother will be on. Remember the Hafiz game. Again, you should be buying games not just for yourself but also playing the games. I recommend this for husbands and wives too. Hafiz, what did I say? Hafiz? Yeah, mashallah. I'm still learning, right? Hafiz game, alhamdulillah. And again, you buy multiple five and more, you can get them $20 each. And there's no better aid gift. Your issue is not making sure they play the game. You make sure that they have the game. Get the game and get it out to all those people that you want to be able to learn more about Al-Islam. So, of course, 100, Give 100, our annual giving. This is a way by which we ensure making those kind of sacred, long-lasting impressions on our children through our Eid celebration. And you know, Eid al-Fitr is kind of like, it has the tendency to really draw because it comes right after the fast. So we're more conscious of that. So in any case, the young people, they are definitely more conscious of it. So you want to make sure you're among those who give $100. You want to be among the 100 who give 100 so that we can make sure that that event is the kind of event that makes indelible impressions on our young people for life. And those of you who have experienced the Ramadan sessions this week, that's what you actually have seen. You have seen how long-lasting and impactful and significant the works that we do for children through our institutions are. And so Eid for us also is an institution, both as Muslims, but also here at Masjid Waqfiyya, and it's critical for us to make sure that that is always memorable. So be with us in person or on live stream Zoom for the Moving Our Community into the Future, Ramadan Session 2. Alhamdulillah, we're going to have that. I think I got all the announcements this time. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.